Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Welcome to our study of answering denominational doctrines. The Bible tells us that we are to contend earnestly for the faith. Jude verse 3. The Scripture tells us that we are not to divide in the name of Christ and that denominationalism is against the will of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. As a child of God, we must expose the unfruitful works of darkness and not have fellowship with them. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Today we're going to be considering the Baptist denomination. And as we study this together, as we look at the Word of God, we ask you simply to get your Bible and see if the things we are saying are true to the Word of God. Our responsibility is to search the Scriptures daily. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And we're asking the great question, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37 and verse 17. And as we search the Scripture today and attempt to prove all things and hold fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, we encourage you to look to the Word of God and decide for yourself, is what's being said true to the Bible? Can a person be a part of a certain religious group that teaches and does things that are not right and still be right with God? We begin today by examining the history of the Baptist religion. When did the Baptist religion start? Well, most people will place it between 1607 and 1609. Now, what is important about that? Well, in the fundamental teaching of God on the church, we know exactly when the church started. Did the church of the Lord Jesus Christ begin in 1607 or 1609? No, not at all. The Scriptures teach us when the Lord's church was prophesied to begin and when that church, the Lord's church, actually started. Notice what the Scripture says. The prophet Daniel says in Daniel 2 verse 44 about God's kingdom or God's church. The Scripture says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, here God's prophesying during the time of Israel about a new kingdom coming. Now, do you remember Jesus said, I'll build my church? And then he said to Peter in verse 19, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. And so when we hear that word kingdom, we're talking about God's church. It is God's kingdom today. It's the domain of Christ the King. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And so Daniel prophesies of that new kingdom coming. Well, when's that kingdom going to come? Daniel says in the times of these kings, four kings are mentioned. You've got four kingdoms there. In the time of one of these four kingdoms, God's going to set up a new kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Well, from history we know that following this time you have the Babylonian kingdom. Well, did any new kingdom of God's people get established during the time of Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar? No, we know during that time period, Israel was still God's kingdom. Although they were taken into captivity, they were still God's kingdom. Well, what about during the time of the Medo-Persians? Cyrus arises in Isaiah 45 and verse 1, and he now allows God's people to go back home and to rebuild. They have Ezra, Esther, Nehemiah, and the events of restoration going on there. And so, during the Medo-Persians, no new kingdom. What about during the Greek period? We have a lot of information during the Greek period, Alexander the Great and people like unto that. No new kingdom established during the Greek time. But then we come to that fourth and final kingdom, the Roman kingdom. And it is in this kingdom at this time that God establishes His eternal kingdom. You remember Acts chapter 2? I want you to specifically notice what the Scripture says in verse 47. Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Bible says, and praising God and having favor with all the people, and for the very first time, the Lord added to the church, to the kingdom, daily, those who are being saved. Well, what time frame is Acts chapter 2 happening? It's right in the midst of the Roman era. And so when did the Lord's church begin? Friend, listen carefully. According to prophecy and according to the New Testament, the Lord's church did not start in 1607 or 1609. That's 1600 plus years too late. The Lord's church, by prophecy and by the teaching of God in Acts 2, started on Pentecost in the first century. Now, that's very important as an identifying trait. If I can know when the Lord's church started, A.D. 30, Pentecost, first century, then by the process of elimination, I can exclude denominations that started at the wrong time. Secondly, as we study the history of the Baptist denomination, we next ask, where? Where did the Baptist movement start at? And historians, as well as Baptist historians, will put this movement beginning around London, England. Now, nothing wrong with London, England per se as a place, but we ask, did the Bible specify where the Lord's church was going to start? And again, in prophecy and in fulfillment, God does tell us. Notice Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Isaiah prophesied, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths.'" Now notice this, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He, God, shall judge between the nations, rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." In the time of God establishing that new house, that new kingdom, that new place of worship, the Bible says it will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord shall come out of Jerusalem. Well, did that happen? Sure it did. You open to Acts chapter 2. And here is Peter. They have received the Holy Spirit just as Jesus promised in Luke 24, verse 44 following. Jesus said, "You stay in Jerusalem, wait till you receive the Spirit from on high." They're in Jerusalem. They receive that miraculous ability to speak in unlearned languages. And notice what the Scripture says, Acts 2, verse 5 and Acts 2, verse 47. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Here they are. They're waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. That Spirit comes upon them. Peter begins to preach the gospel. He opens up his mouth and they hear them in all their various languages. Peter tells them they need to repent and be baptized. Verse 38, "Those who gladly received His word," verse 42, "were baptized." And notice again Acts 2, verse 47. The Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Just as it was prophesied, so it came true in fulfillment. The Lord's church promised it would start in Jerusalem, and it did. Now, here's another identifying characteristic. The Baptist church started 1,000 years later and thousands of miles from where the Lord's church started. If it didn't start in Jerusalem on Pentecost in A.D. 30, how can it be the church you read about in the Bible? You can't have a wrong time and a wrong place and the right church. It's just not the way God set it up. And so we think about this denomination started thousands of years later. It was started thousands of miles from where the Lord's church began at. And we need to realize as well, not only that it is not the church you read about in the Bible, but it's not what God wants us to do to be right with Him and to get to heaven. Now, I want you to think about this with me. How did this movement start? How did the Baptist church come about? Well, history records for us that this movement began during the Reformation of the 16th century. Baptists were originally called Anabaptists and were closely associated and even partly indoctrinated by Menno Simons, the founder of the Mennonite religion. Anabaptists or Baptists were considered unique in this Reformation movement because they believed those who had been sprinkled as children needed to be rebaptized as adults. And so we think about, how did this get started? In the Reformation, you've got people who are sprinkling, and one group says, no, sprinkling's not right, you've got to be baptized, and so they're known as rebaptizers or Anabaptists. Today we call them Baptists. While going back and doing what God said is always a good idea, friend, understand that the movement of the Lord's church didn't grow. Listen carefully. It did not grow out of the Reformation or the Restoration or any other movement. The Lord's church began in the mind of God all the way back to eternity. Genesis 3 verse 15, God said the seed of woman would crush the head of Satan. From that time forward, the Lord has been working and weaving His plan into human history to bring His Son and His church into the world. Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 11 says, the church is the eternal plan of God. It didn't grow out of a movement by men. It didn't come as a reaction or an overreaction. The Lord's church started because God from eternity planned it that way. Mark 9 verse 1, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, while He was living on this earth, He said, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present with power. Jesus knew it was coming. He knew what the prophet said. And so we need to understand it's the plan of God, not the reaction or overreaction of men to certain things happening. Now, here's an interesting side note. The Baptist name comes from a desire to rebaptize. And yet, Baptists don't even believe baptism is essential to salvation. Why even rebaptize if you don't even think it's essential to salvation? There's a glaring contradiction. I'm named after an act that I don't believe is essential to salvation, when Jesus clearly said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. What a contradiction of terms that is, even in the name. Well, where did the name Baptist come from? Be sure there's no reference in the Bible to the church ever being called the Baptist Church. Sometimes people will say, the Baptist Church is named after John the Baptist. John never said that. The Bible never says that. And really, according to history, that's not true. Baptists were labeled Baptists because they insisted on the rebaptism of adults who had been sprinkled. And thus, it's only a myth that it came from John the Baptist. But here's what's really important. What about the name Baptist? Is it okay to be called Baptist or the Baptist Church? Well, again, if we're going to do what the Bible says, if we're going to speak where the Bible speaks, speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, then we have to ask, does God, in His Word, His oracle, ever call the church the Baptist Church? And friend, He does not. You can search from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22, verse 21, and not one time will God ever call the church the Baptist Church. And so we ask, how could someone be a part of a group that you don't even find in the Bible? The Bible calls it the Church of God, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. The Bible calls it the Church of the Lord, Acts 20, verse 28. Scripture calls it the Church of Christ, Matthew 16, verse 18. And for plural congregations, the Churches of Christ, Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. And so we understand that men had a big hand in this, getting this movement started, getting it going, doing what they thought was right. But God did not. Well, next we ask, as we think about the fundamentals of this denomination and the unique identifying characteristics of the Bible, who founded, who started the Baptist religion? History records that it was started by a man by the name of John Smith. He was a British separatist. He separated from the Church of England, trying to get back and go back toward the Bible. He became infatuated with the teaching of Menno Simons, a Mennonite. And so it was started by a man by the name of John Smith. What's wrong with John Smith starting the Baptist Church? Well, friend, he has no right, no authority, or no power to start any church. No man alive has that power. Only God has the power, and His Son was given that power to start His church. Think about these words again with me. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus said, "And I say to you," speaking to Peter, "and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, question. Whose church did Jesus say He would build? Did He say He would build the Baptist church for John Smith? No, He just didn't say that. Did He say He would build the Lutheran church for Martin Luther? Did He say He would build the Presbyterian church for John Calvin? Or the Methodist church for John Wesley? No, He didn't say any of that. What did Jesus say? He said, "I will build my church." Jesus only built one, and He said it was going to be His. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Scripture says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He," which Christ, "purchased with His own blood." Jesus paid the price. It was His blood that was shed on Calvary, and no man anywhere has the right to start a church and say this is God's church. Jesus owns it, and it must wear His name. Well, we next ask, who's the head of the Baptist religion? It is claimed that Christ is the head, but the Southern Baptist Convention, or whatever convention it may be, American Baptist Council, whatever it may be, they make the statements of faith and doctrine for what this group is going to believe. And so, you're saying Jesus, they're saying Jesus is the head, and yet under that, they have people deciding, coming together and putting together what the head actually believes. Friend, that sounds a lot like what Jesus condemned in Matthew chapter 15. Listen to these words. Jesus said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" They were teaching doctrines of men. They were coming together, the Pharisees, whoever it may have been, and they were deciding, this is what we believe. A lot like what conventions or standard manual does, decides what people are going to believe. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one who makes the decisions. He's already decided right here in His Word. God, who at various times and various ways spoke by times in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. And Scripture records in Psalm 119, verse 89, God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven's already decided. There's no need to take a vote. There's no need to poll the membership. There's no need for a group of religious people to get together and say, okay, here's what we're going to believe. Heaven has already decided. That's recorded in the Word of God. And so any organization that lets men decide or has manuals that tell you what to believe besides the Bible, friend, you need to run from that as fast as you can. That's not the church you read about in the Bible. Well, we next ask, what is the authority? What's the authority of the Baptist Church? Again, Scripture is claimed to be their guide in all matters. However, tradition and creeds are very important. What did people do back in 1607 or 1609? What did those who founded this movement believe? Again, the Southern Baptist Convention, a manual, the idea of a pastor system. I remember speaking to a lady one time about God's plan of salvation, and we talked about God's plan and what the Bible said we need to do. And I remember at the end of that conversation, when she had seen what the Scripture said, here's what she said. She said, "I'll have to go ask my pastor." Friend, in the New Testament, our authority is not a convention of men. It's not a manual made by men. And it surely isn't a one-man pastor system, which is foreign to the New Testament anyway. We need to let the Word of God be our absolute authority on all matters. We need to ask, what does the Bible say? Is there any word from the Lord on this subject? And what does God in His Word want us to do? And what does He want us to believe and teach to be the New Testament church? And so we've seen these things today. Christ promised. It was prophesied, and He promised to build and start His church in the time of the four kingdoms mentioned in Daniel 2. Of those four kingdoms, no new kingdom is started until you get to that Roman era. And amazingly, Jesus promised, Mark 9 verse 1, that during that time, His kingdom would be established. Not only did He promise it, He said He would build it. Matthew 16 verse 18. And not only did He promise and say He would build it, you open Acts chapter 2, and there it is. The church of the New Testament was started by Jesus in AD 30 on Pentecost. Well, Jesus also, through Scripture, told where it would begin. Isaiah chapter 2 promised the word of the Lord should go forth from Jerusalem, God's new temple where all nations could flow to it, God's new house where all nations, not just Israel, all nations could flow to it, would begin in Jerusalem. Again, Jesus told His disciples, Luke chapter 24, you stay in Jerusalem. You wait for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they stood up and they, for the very first time, preached the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that He is God's Son. And Acts 2 verse 36 says, Peter shouted out, he said out, repent, or he said in Acts 2 verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the Scripture says those people, when they heard that message, they were pricked in their heart and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was very clear. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38. And the Scripture tells us, those who gladly received His Word. Acts 2 verse 42. The Lord in Jerusalem in the first century added to the church. The church existed 1600 years. At least before the Baptist religion. We see that it was founded by our Lord and Savior. Friend, I want to be a part of the church that Jesus started, don't you? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I purchased it with my blood. Acts 20, verse 28. There is only one church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. If Jesus built it, if He died for it, and there's only one, then don't you want to be a part of the church Jesus built? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now someone says, okay, so some of the characteristics, identifying marks of the Baptist church really don't meet with the New Testament church. Are you saying that a person can't be saved in the Baptist church? Friend, I want you to think about these passages with me. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 22 following, that Jesus is the Savior of the body. Whose body? John Smith's body? The Baptist? No. Who is Jesus the Savior of? He's the Savior of the body, and if you look in the context, the body is His church. Jesus is the Savior of His church. He's not going to save any man's church. He's not going to save religious groups that are not following His will. And so we must be in the Lord's church. Absolutely. You must be a member of the body of Christ, the church that Jesus died for, to be saved. Hebrews 12, verses 22 following teaches us that those who have their names reserved in heaven are a part of the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Well, who's the firstborn? Firstborn over the dead, according to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, is Jesus Christ. Don't you want to have your name on that heavenly register? Won't it be great to stand before the throne of God and hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, to hear that, you've got to be a part of the church of the firstborn. They're the ones who have their names registered in heaven. And then, of course, the Bible says, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, or 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, that salvation is in Christ. How do you get into Christ? We're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. We're baptized into that one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. If salvation is in Christ and in His body, then it is absolutely essential that I be a part of the Lord's church. Friend, we ask you today, kindly consider the things that have been said from Scripture. Take your own Bible. Search for yourself and see, are these things really true? And if they are true, we encourage you for the sake of your soul, leave denominational error behind. Get out of it. Don't be a part of it. Won't you strive simply for New Testament Christianity? Have you heard the Word of God? The Bible says to have faith, you've got to hear God's Word. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you, once you've heard that Word, committed to it? Have you believed in Jesus? Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Have you not only committed, believed that, but are you willing to repent? Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Have you turned from sin and turned to God? And would you, just as Jesus commanded, confess Him before men? Jesus said in Matthew 10:32 and 33, if you won't confess Me before men, neither will I confess you before My Father who is in heaven. And would you, to get into the one body, be baptized? Here's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We hope today that you'll study these things for yourself and stay tuned next time as we think about the Baptist denomination and its teaching, which is contrary to the message of Christ and New Testament Christianity. May we each ask, is there any word from the Lord, and get a Bible answer.